Became flesh and lived among us. Now, as we read your holy word, let it inspire us and let us receive your word into our hearts so that we will be prepared for the day of judgment and for our life anew. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. You can follow along in your pew Bible on page 865. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Lo, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Hail!" And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Each of the Gospels tells the story of the resurrection. Each one gives a little bit of a different history and a little bit different flavor to what had happened. Mary and another Mary went down to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Matthew's gospel is the only one who talks about this earthquake, how it rolled the stone away. Matthew is also the only gospel which talks about an earthquake immediately before Jesus, after Jesus dies, saying, "Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split." One of my favorite movies growing up was The Greatest Story Ever Told, which portrayed Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And when it came to this part, the earthquake came and ripped the stones apart. It made for great dramatic effect. Now, being born and raised in Southern California, I have experienced numerous earthquakes, some small, others major. As a child, I always thought earthquakes were fun. We would learn in school how we would have earthquake drills and we'd have to get underneath our desk. We also learned to get underneath a doorway. So we always felt safe during an earthquake. I had never witnessed the destructive force of an earthquake firsthand until I moved to Sherman Oaks in 1994. They had just come out of the North Ridge earthquake, which measures 6.7 on the Richter scale. All around town, you could see boarded up shops and storefronts that had been closed. Most streets had at least one building that was condemned. Entire parking structures had collapsed inward. When I saw this destructive power, I realized that earthquakes are not always so much fun. I realized how dangerous that they could be and how vulnerable we really are. Things can change in a blink of an eye. And we can never really fully prepare ourselves. Now, I don't know how many of you have experienced an earthquake. I know that this area from that time to time has experienced tornadoes. In fact, we've been hearing, last week we heard tornado sirens twice. Fortunately, no tornadoes. My wife and daughter, as they were taking my daughter to college in Rockford, Illinois, suddenly heard the tornado warning. And so they had to go downstairs. At the bottom, in each dorm, there is a special spot where you are supposed to meet. It is important for us to know what to do in the midst of a natural disaster. We need to know in order to keep our families safe. Experiencing natural disasters can shake us. But so do the internal disorders of our lives, such as the death of a loved one. This can be just as earth and soul shattering, or perhaps a medical crisis, or the loss of a job. These can shake us to our very core. We realize how vulnerable we truly are. And we realize that we are not in control. It is in these times of spiritual upheaval that we are often most open to the work of God. For some of us, it takes these internal disasters in order to awaken us to the reality of God. I remember a friend of mine in high school turning to God after he had rolled his car several times on the freeway, actually crossing over the divider onto the other side of the road. Fortunately, he was not hurt, nor anybody else. For most of us, these spiritual earthquakes remind us what is truly important. Do you remember after 9/11 how churches saw an influx of people praying for the nation? We lifted up those who were lost in that tragedy. Remember the outpouring of support for the police and the fire department. On air flights, soldiers were given priority seating, and applause rang out for their service. But unfortunately, this often does not last. As often happens, our lives return back to normal. Too soon we forget the lessons in which we have learned. The experience fades. My friend who had that car accident eventually returned back to his old patterns of not attending church and not reading the Bible. After 9/11, people returned back to sleeping in on Sundays and forgetting to pray at the dinner table. It has been years since I have heard a captain of an airline lift thanks for a soldier on board. Now, I'm not saying this in order to make us feel guilty, but to point out that for most of us, spiritual quakes do not typically have lifetime consequences. That is why I find the resurrection so amazing. In the resurrection, we see that the disciples and followers of Jesus were shaken to their very core. But what made this truly miraculous? Why did this event change them? How did this event take such a group of scared disciples and convince them to go and change the world. I mean, they had witnessed miracles of Jesus before. They had watched Jesus walk on the water. They had seen him feed the masses. They had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. What was it about the resurrection that transformed their life? What made them willing to die for the good news that Jesus was alive? And most of them did die, professing their faith. Why did they not eventually return back to the way that things were before? I think there are a few reasons. First of all, the resurrection was so transformational that it was not easily forgotten. They could not return back to life as normal once they had touched the hands of Jesus, the hands that were pierced for them. To see him rise from the grave was like nothing they had experienced before. Secondly, Jesus had been preparing them for this moment throughout the last 3 years of his ministry. He had been telling them that he would die and rise again on the third day. He had also been building them up as a community of faith. He would send them out two by two, having them baptize and preach. He was preparing them for what was to happen. And third, which I believe is the critical factor, they were not in this alone. They experienced the resurrection as a covenant community. And each time that they would gather together and break bread, they would share communion. They would remember Jesus' words. As they baptized new followers, as they preached and taught, they realized that they were not alone. Christ had built them into a social network. It was emotionally and intellectually impossible for them to return back to the way things were. So where does that leave us? We were not there. We did not witness the resurrection. We have never seen the stone that was rolled away. We have not touched the pierced hands. But have we not experienced Christ's resurrection within our own lives? Have we not heard the story and believed? Have we not felt our hearts burn at the telling of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross? Have we not felt Jesus' presence as we have shared communion together? Have we not witnessed God's love in our own trials? And in our own spiritual quakes. And yes, do we not feel God here together today? Perhaps in your own life, you have been shaken by God. Perhaps you see the faith and strength of others and want to experience that for yourself. Do not let the possibility of transformation pass you by. He has risen for each of us. We are called to experience his resurrection today. To ask him into our hearts. Ask him to forgive us of our sins. Ask him to show us new life. But we should not stop there. Otherwise, it will just fade away. We are called into a new life, into a new way of being. We are called to carry that love into our lives, to tell others about the good news that we have received. When we tell others and share our faith, we are bearing witness to Christ's resurrection. What would have happened if the women who went to that tomb never shared what they experienced? What if they had just kept it to themselves? Would we be worshiping here today? When you experience Christ, tell someone about it. Tell a Christian neighbor, a friend, a spouse. Tell anyone. But do not let your resurrection story go untold. And if you are ever the recipient, lucky enough to hear someone else's resurrection story, then listen carefully, because you are experiencing the sacred. You too are witnessing the resurrection with them. Then take a moment to pray with them. Thank God for the great things that you have seen. Invite them to come to church so that they can share with others who have experienced Christ. And forever, keep praying for that individual. In the resurrection, we find the power of transformation. But it requires us not to be just observers, but also participants. We are called to participate together. Otherwise, the story will soon fade. Jesus sacrificed himself so that we could bear witness to God's amazing love. Hear Christ's call. He invites you to be his witness. But he does not leave us in the tomb. He sends us out into new life to find other Christians, to share our story together. Friends, the tomb is empty, but life is waiting. Go and live the new life found in Jesus Christ. For he has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen.